You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Tuesday, good morning and welcome. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, who has been out there as sort of, the face of leadership in our community for days and weeks. It's strange, right? I mean, doesn't 2 weeks seem like about 10 years ago?
Oh, I'm trying to remember normal. I mean, it feels like this has been going on forever. And it really, as you said, it's just been a few weeks, really probably about 2.5.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's clearly the story, the pandemic itself goes back, you know, maybe to December. But man, we all know the week that everything changed for us and what that was like. The governor's press conference yesterday, actually cases went down, but they said, hey, look, this depends on the test and we're waiting for tests. And if you basically watch this every 3 days, the number's doubling and you can look at this and follow it all the way back. And the model actually is spot on. Not a lot of news here locally in the update from the crisis communication team. But really, that doesn't mean much, right? I mean, it's just what we don't know.
True. And we did get some good news yesterday. Congressman Davis has secured a bunch of money for Central Illinois in community development grant funding, specifically for coronavirus relief. Decatur is going to get $834,000 and towards CDBG, Community Development Block Grant money. Now, I've had people say, okay, what can we use this money for? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We're waiting on some specifics. But, you know, once we get past the health crisis and the, you know, right now we're fighting for lives. Once we get past this, we're going to have to rebuild this economy and this community. So,
And right now, there seems to be resources, but a lot of confusion. I know the chamber and the EDC both have sort of resource pages, or even us, you know, who are fairly plugged into this, we're going now, okay, which grant is this? You know what
yeah.
I mean? There's a lot of that.
And our lawmakers are trying to help. Everybody is trying to do something because we all know that everybody is in crisis and worried about the fate of their business, about, you know, people aren't going to be able to pay rent. How are we going to keep things going? We're all in the same boat. We're going to figure this out. Let's not panic yet. Let's get through the crisis part of the first wave of crisis. First wave being, you know, let's stop the spread of this pandemic. Let's do everything we can to stay healthy. We're going to need healthy people to figure this out once we're done. And the fewer deaths we have, the better. And I'm really hoping that we are able to mitigate this. And Brian, it's so frustrating, though. We've tried to, the park district has tried to get the parks closed down, and they're having to take more extreme measures today just to keep people from touching each other and touching surfaces, because this thing lives on surfaces, even outside. So trying to keep people safe and really educate the public. But this is not over. And I know you're bored. I know you're tired of this. But we're not through it yet. We haven't even hit the peak.
I know. Do you have a sense? Now, I keep expecting the governor to extend the stay-at-home executive order further. You look at Virginia, you look at Florida, there's dates all over the place. I'm not asking you to read a crystal ball, but do you not anticipate him coming out and saying for schools and for everyone else, this is going to be extended?
Absolutely. I have a conference call with him later this afternoon. I think that was originally scheduled for 12:30. I think it's been moved to 4, but I fully expect him to say this is a conference call, a call with, he does this twice a week with local officials, with mayors and county board chairmen. But I fully expect him to announce that this is going to happen either in his briefing this afternoon or with us later on this afternoon, because we're not done, you know. And you look at the extreme measures being taken in New York. You look at how Chicago is trying to prepare with setting up McCormick Place as, you know, an alternative site. I mean, this is serious stuff. This is not just, you know, some exercise. This is preparing for the worst.
All right. What's your sense of overall? I know we tend to sort of concentrate on the bad actors, whether it's social media or people gathering or doing whatever. Do you think most people, though, are throwing some common sense at this?
I sure hope so. I mean, I hear about people who are not following the rules, not doing what we need them to do to stay safe. But, you know, it's fun because I'm watching on social media and other places, you know, parents really spending a lot of time with their kids and not necessarily in front of Netflix, but, you know, working with them on homework and really reconnecting and doing some creative things, whether it's board games. And we broke out the board games a week ago, which I can't play the last time we did that. And so, you know, I think it's an opportunity in some ways to reconnect with family, to do some, you know, really concentrate on health and exercise, and how do we do this with while still being safe. So that aspect of it may change the face of things. You know, I think a lot of things are going to change as we come out of this, just in how we view things and how we accomplish things. These, you know, apps where both Duquesne Memorial Hospital and HSHS St. Mary's are offering, you know, these free usage of these apps to check in with your doctor or a doctor and healthcare. You know, it's really going to radically change some things.
And I'm sure once we're through the other side of this, we'll be able to kind of look back and go, maybe we were doing things that we didn't need to do and figure out how to do it smarter. I mean, I think there will be benefits to that in the long term. I think there'll be benefits to Decatur because of manufacturing, and I think there'll be a resurgence of making things here. I think the whole world has awakened to the fact that it's probably not a good idea to rely on China for all of our medicine. So I think down the road there will be benefits to all this. But I also, you know, I, as much as I worry about the kids, I also think they're getting an unbelievable lesson in sacrifice and resilience that our great grandparents had, and we've had it pretty easy since then.
Oh, Brian, we've had it so easy. I mean, you look at the ability to communicate. You know, when I was in college, for example, you had a landline, and I got to call home once a week, and that was the only communication I had with my parents. If you had an out-of-town boyfriend, you didn't get to call him. That's just how it was. We've gone back to letter writing for some of our, you know, shut-in relatives that we need to keep up with, and just trying to touch base on a different level. And I think it's incredibly healthy for us to have some sacrifice because, I mean, we've had scary times. We went through 9/11. We've gone through a recession. We've had some things to deal with, but not like this. And this is life and death. This is take it seriously. This is you can't continue to do things the way you did. And we have to be creative. We have to be conscious of other people. We have to look out for our neighbors.
One final note before we let you out of here, and then keep us posted on any breaking news today. You're at home, right? You've got a tablet. You've got a PC. You're getting that census form in the mail. It is very – I know it doesn't seem important right now in the middle of all this, but right in the middle of all this is the reason why it is important, because that's how the federal government decides who gets what.
Yeah, it's all about a head count and dollars. And the more heads we have to count, the more resources that come to this community. So it is critically important. It's not hard. It's not a huge invasion of your privacy. This is about getting federal dollars allocated to us, getting representation at both the federal and state level. This is critical. We only get to do this every 10 years. And yeah, we're going to lose, you know, a number of our population is going to be less. So it's even more important that we count everybody we do have.
Yep. It takes a couple of minutes. I mean, it's the easiest thing to do. You have a little code on the envelope that you get. You type that in. You fill out. I mean, there's just simple questions. Click, 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 and you're done.
And it's not like you don't have some extra time.
No. It's absolutely. Mayor.
It's less time than your commute.
All right. Keep healthy. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you soon, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. That I know it doesn't seem like in the middle of all this, like, well, why do I care about that? You only do this once every 10 years. Once a decade. And as they're deciding stuff right now, federally, you know, they're looking at census numbers from 10 years ago. And they'll be looking at these numbers for the next 10. And it's not just during a pandemic. It's how you get aid. It's how you get money. It's how everything is determined. It is vitally important. And it literally takes like 2 minutes to do it online. And kids out there used to have some annoying hourly worker knock on your door with a clipboard. This is a much better way of doing it.
Yeah, way easier.
Way easier.
And maybe it's even fun from the couch.
Yeah.
Gives you something to do.
Yes,
get it
does.
Done.
And if nothing else, you can just sort of chuckle at how the federal government puts questionnaires together.